Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
So let's get into our show. A lot of other headlines going on in the boxing world. The Tank pay-per-view is set on January 7th. He's fighting Hector Garcia, not Ryan Garcia, but the co-main event. It's like an all-star team of A-sides, but not so much on the B-side. So Tank and Luis Garcia, are in the Hector Garcia are in the main event. Co-main, Boots Ennis versus a Karen. his first name is Karen. He's I've never heard of the guy, a Russian. I don't know where they found him. Demetrius Andrade versus Damon Nicholson. Damon Nicholson went the distance with Edgar Belanga at 168. And it's notable that Andrade is now, I guess, with PBC. He can get some big fights at 168. And Rashidi Ellis is also on the card. So that's what's set for January 7th. Of course, if Tank wins, he moves on to face Ryan Garcia. That's the big thing. But it's a decent card.
Yeah, I mean, it's a decent card because of the names that are involved. Like you said, they're not in the most pristine matchups or the matchups that you really want to tune in. Although I do believe the main event is a really, really tough fight. The Tank and Hector Garcia fight is, I think that's a real fight, man. That kid is talented, Hector Garcia. So that's not one to overlook, although a lot of the mainstream fans may not have heard about Garcia. Mm-hmm. But going down the line, like you said, I mean, any time Demetrius Andrade fights, you should tune in, because whether he's the most exciting guy in the world or not, he matters. He's an undefeated two-division world champion, now trying to tackle his third weight division, is in the Canelo
orb,
right? That's a good way to put it. The running. So he's someone that you want to look out for, because if he has a good performance, he really realistically could be in that Canelo running. So
not just Canelo, but like he could fight the winner of Plant Benavidez. Yes. He could fight Jermall Charlo.
Yep.
I think his career could be dissected for a long time, like fights he didn't get, inactivity, some head-scratching business decisions, you know, most notably not fighting Charlo a few years back. But, you know, still 33 or 34, there's still some good fights with him, especially in the PBC. So if this is a three-fight deal, or I have to confirm that, or I would think so, or I'd hope so, there's some big fights for him down the line.
It's definitely not a one-off. PBC doesn't really do that. It's
right.
Like, so it's not going to be a one-off.
If it's a two- or three-fight deal, like he can get some big fights. So
especially a guy like Desmond Nicholson, who's by no means a world beater, but, you know, he's a tough guy, you know, but it's a step-up fight for something bigger.
Yeah, Siempre El Reyes, one of our fan favorites, says that's a good Showtime pay-per-view card. Definitely going to tune in. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, anytime you can see Tank, Boots, Rashidi Ellis, Demetrius Andrade all on the same card, especially with the stakes in the main event, which is a Ryan Garcia fight, then that's a good one for me. Did you see this with Tank? Tank said after the fight, or before he was getting interviewed, that he's no longer with Mayweather Promotions.
He's been saying that for a couple weeks now.
First time I ever heard him on camera, like, say it. Like, Ellerby wasn't at the press conference. Mayweather wasn't there. Mayweather Promotions was not on any of the signs.
Yep.
He's done with Mayweather Promotions.
There's been leaks about this for years. There's obviously been a lot of upheaval between the two over the last couple of years. We've been seeing some tweets and posts that would show that they're going to be, like you said, now we're seeing they have been completely wiped from the card. There's no signage. There's no affiliation.
Yeah.
So that's something. That's something that's important going forward. I mean, it is what it is. You get a guy to where he can go, but you gotta let him live. I fully believe that for fighters. There's only so far certain promoters can take you. You've got to be able to let your man go and let him fly. Let him make the most money he possibly can, because at the end of the day, that's what this sport's all about.
Well, here's the thing. Like, he's not. Like, yes, he left Mayweather, he left Ellerby, but he did not leave Al Haymon, the most important part of the equation. Al Haymon is still advising Tank Davis. For as far as I know, Tank Davis is still aligned with Showtime Boxing. I don't think much is going to change outside of maybe Tank not having to cut a third check or a check to Mayweather Promotions. He now has his GTD promotions, Gervonta Tank Davis Promotions, which you know, almost every fighter now has their own promotional company. So it's more of like a symbolism type of thing. It's a storyline. Floyd no longer around. Part of me wished that Floyd would stayed on and Ellerby just for the build up for the Tank Ryan fight. Because I think if you have Oscar and Ryan Garcia on one side and you have Mayweather and Tank on the other, that can just drive this fight even bigger than I originally think this fight's going
to
be.
Listen, at the end of the day, it all comes down to money. You could just be like, hey, listen, you're no longer getting paid, but you can be involved in the name, and you can keep going with that. But, you know, these guys don't care to do that. They're not looking ahead. That's kind of what boxing is all about. So, but, I mean, listen, I don't like fighters having to have to cut more checks than they already do, because we have to cut a lot of checks to a lot of different people. That money that you see in the newspaper headlines gets trickled down and paid off to so many people. So way more than anyone knows.
How much is like a normal camp cost for a world championship fight? Like when you're at your peak, like Pacquiao,
dude, I spent 100 grand.
100 grand?
I spent 100 grand for the Pacquiao fight.
On what?
I mean, 3 months in training camp.
How much was that on avocado?
I mean, my avocado a week. Back then it was a lot cheaper.
You tired of those jokes?
A lot cheaper than it is now. No, I don't. Listen, you can say every fucking cage joke, avocado. I don't care at all.
Okay.
My bank account is very flush. I have a great career. Yes. I don't care at all.
100 grand for a training camp. So what does that entail?
So you got to think about it. You got to fly in sparring partners, right? You got to house them. You got to pay them per week. You got to pay for their food. You got to pay for your team living in a place other than where you are.
Wow.
They're not sleeping in their bed. They're sleeping in the bed that you're paying for, as are legitimately 6, 7, 8 other people for 2 months. Think about that. If you're in Las Vegas and you have to spend hotel rooms for 3 months for 9 different people, we weren't staying in Motel 6.
And who covers? The promoter or manager cover that?
No, I do. The fighter does.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's when people are like, well, where does that money go? Then you got, you know, you got to pay your strength and conditioning coach. You got to pay your boxing coach, which you normally have two of them. You got to pay your cut man. You got to pay your manager takes a cut. You know, whatever side promoter you have, whatever deal you have from back when you were 5-0.
What about like social media content types of things? That's the way my brain works.
I didn't pay for
it. But nowadays, you have to have like a good YouTube presence, a good social media presence.
At that time, I had a website, and I was selling product and all that, and I had someone to manage that. You know, I had a full-time employee. Kevin Rooney was my full-time guy. He was literally my live-in number one right-hand man who handled so much for me, and he was a salaried guy for
me. Nuts.
You know, so
yeah, I think that's the side of boxing that a lot of fight fans don't know is, like, you know, a lot of guys pay their own camp.
Yeah.
You know, some promoters cover it if you're up there in the bigger ones.
I wasn't one of those guys.
Right.
I had to pay my way. I've always had to work really hard and extra hard.
Lunch pail guy.
Yeah. I'm a brown paper bag guy, man. I pack my lunch and I go to work and I work hard.
So, that's January 7th. I can't believe we're getting towards the end of the year.
Crazy.
We got a few more fight weeks left. We had this fight weekend, which is loaded, cards all day. Last week we had cards all day. December 17th, we're still getting Frank Martin. In there, who's Frank Martin fighting? Why am I drawing a blank?
Michelle Ali,
Rivera,
the Ali
lookalike, the Ali kid who looks more like Ali than Ali's grandson.
I don't like that he does that. The kick and fight.
He needs to get rid of that.
He doesn't need to do that.
I've actually told that to Showtime people. I was like, dude, like, why is he doing that? Just be yourself.
The kick and fight. He doesn't need to do that.
I know he has a chance of beating Martin. That's December 17th. So, and then after that, you know, we got Inoue. He's fighting December 13th, which is going to be a bloodbath for
Paul Butler. Yeah, that's going to be roadkill.
Yeah, so that's what's coming up. We have our end of the year award show. That's way down the line. But some other headlines. This one just came across, and I'm like, don't know how to react to this. Like, WWE is contemplating a move into boxing. Co-CEO Stephanie McMahon says WWE is looking to expand their horizons, according to McMahon. The company's considering making a move into the boxing business. The sport, McMahon said, is fractured. Yes, it is. WWE, she said, has a history of streamlining an industry. So WWE became what it was because Vince McMahon and his father bought up local territories.
Yeah.
Like all those small down south, and they eventually made one, ended up buying WCW and making one league, one umbrella.
Monopoly.
Yeah, yes. Which would be great. Yeah, AEW's around. And that's what, like, kind of boxing needs. Like, UFC has it. They are monopolized the sport. There is Bellator. There is Pride or whatever. There is one championship. But you almost have to like be careful what you wish for with it, and also it's a lot easier said than done. Like,
well, no,
what does that mean buying it? Like, what does that even entail buying? That's the part that I didn't wrap my mind around.
So I took it as they're going to be a new promotion, and they're going to come in, and they're going to start their own promotional company and put on fights. Which, good luck. Boxing is a very difficult sport to carve a slice in. Everyone's tried it. Jay-Z tried it. 50 Cent try it, you know, it failed miserably. And guys who are very, very successful in other aspects of the world, in the industry and entertainment, boxing is a whole different animal. These guys do that though. They've done that in the entertainment industry. They've done it in a quote unquote sport. You know, they have tons of money, but what you just said about unifying, absolutely not.
No one has enough money.
Elon Musk would have to do that. And I don't think
we
he could
don't want
either.
Him in boxing. Like, no, stay with Twitter and charging
but
people
I just
$8
in terms of how much money it would take.
You would need a lot. You'd need several billions. Bob Arum has said last week that he tried to sell Top Rank, but it's too expensive, and he couldn't find anyone to buy it.
Yeah,
for my
I'd buy
this
it
to
if I could.
We'd be the new president of Top Rank to buy.
Bob, hire me. I'll take over.
To like wrap my mind around this, you would have to come in and buy PBC. You would have to buy Matchroom. You'd have to buy Top Rank, and then you'd have to buy Golden Boy.
Fresh off the top of my head, we're looking at
several billion.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say like 12 billion, 20 billion.
Right, and then it's just, first of all, that's never gonna happen. Number one,
no.
Number two, the money is not there. That there's no like, what's the return on that?
There's no ROI on that where you could really like put it together. Where you're
right.
Like, oh, if I put in this much, I'm gonna get back. No way.
I would absolutely love it because there'd be one champ, you know, one organization, one. Sanctioning body,
could,
all that.
Could
the other.
Potentially be a retirement fund for fighters. That
right.
Could be insurance for fighters.
There is upside.
All beautiful things. Yeah.
There's tons of upside for it, and we've been through this many times on how can we fix boxing. And that's one of the main things. But what about DAZN having, you know, and Matchroom being partners, or Top Rank and ESPN being partners, a Golden Boy and DAZN, and PBC and Showtime and Fox? Like, those are contracts. Like, this is a pie in the sky type of thing. It's like Dana White has always talked about getting into. Boxing. How many times did Dana White say, I'm going to get into boxing this year? And then he says, he took one look at it and was like, I ain't getting involved.
Way too many crossroads, way too much red tape, way too many buyouts. Like you just said, you got to buy out the promoter and the network? You're going to buy out ESPN? I don't think so.
No, I could see them aligning with ESPN and then like...
But that's the thing, you have to make alignments or business opportunities and be partners with these companies. You can't buy it all out. And that's really what needs to happen.
I would. It's wild. I saw that headline. I'm like, okay, she's just trying to dabble in, like maybe buy a few, like.
Well, tell her to give me a
fighters.
Call. If she needs anyone to fight or to commentate. I can do all of it.
Yeah, we need Algeria to be part of this WWE takeover of boxing.
Or put me behind the scenes, whatever.
The whole crew.
Put me in, Ronnie, you want to get involved? Yeah, put us in a suit and tie and let us coordinate.
I'm in.
But wouldn't you agree, though, Ron, as a casual voice here, like. Getting like a WWE structure, a UFC structure in boxing is what the sport desperately
needs. How about an NFL structure? That's how I always think about it. The NFL does it the best. I always think about NFL.
Yeah.
Structure. Like those guys, man. They look out for the guys after they retire. They have pensions.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen it work in the WWE, right? So, right. Like, we know it works. So, if you establish that with boxing that's, you know, struggling a little bit, just to give it its sense, I mean, WWE has a huge fan base.
Right.
Huge, and those fans are some of the most loyal fans I've ever seen. So
it's more like the business structure.
Yeah,
but it's easier said than done. Like all the reasons there's so many cooks. There's so many cooks in the kitchen in boxing. It'd be so hard to do.
It could have happened 40 years ago. The companies are too big now.
Yeah,
like you said, like Vince McMahon went around the country and bought up all the small shows. You cannot go around and buy up all the boxing shows now because it's not America. It's the rest of the world. But you're looking at billion-dollar industries that are, you know, like every one of like Matchroom's a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
You know, like Top Rank's a billion-dollar company. Like you got to buy out those guys; they're too big now.
All right, let's move on to our fight previews. We'll start off with the bigger fight of the weekend in terms of visibility. That's coming over on ESPN, and that is Teofimo Lopez in the main event with Sandor Martin. Sandor Martin coming off of a huge upset off of Mikey Garcia. He had another win after that. Teofimo Lopez, of course, 135-pound former undisputed champ, suffered that ridiculous, huge loss to George Kambosos. Actually, Sandor Martin is a late replacement for Jose Pedraza. I think it's a better fight for Lopez.
I don't.
I think it's a. I think Camp. Excuse me, Martin.
Better fight for Lopez.
I think it's just a better fight in general.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, for the fans, okay. I think it's a better fight for Lopez in terms of him, you know, facing a good 140 pounder with momentum, younger than Pedraza, more explosive, southpaw, 11 straight wins for Martin. One of them, Mikey Garcia, albeit Garcia had his, you know, 9 toes out the door. I think it's going to be a good fight. I think Martin Sandor Martin is going to give Lopez some issues. I don't say he's going to win, but I think he's going to give him some issues.
I disagree. I think that the Pedraza fight was a much better fight, much more competitive fight. I think Pedraza, on the run that he's had in the last couple of years, even at 140, which I did not expect him to be that good at. I just didn't think he was big enough. But, I mean, his last fight against Comey, very, very close fight. Comey's a big puncher. He showed that he can deal with the power at 140. He can deal with guys who can really punch. Even though Comey's a 35-pounder, he can still he can really punch. And 40, I think he's a good puncher as well. So, and Teofimo's ultimately a 35-pounder anyway.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Is we were with him earlier this week, me and Ronnie. We saw Teofimo. We went up to the Western Hemisphere's largest observation deck. We're 1,100 feet in the air at the edge at Hudson Yards for the stare down between Teofimo and Sandor Martin.
Sandor looked bigger.
Sandor is bigger, yeah, 100%. Teofimo, we saw him in that 140-pound, his first fight against Pedro Campa.
A lot of ring rust. Big 40-pounder, strong, very, very strong guy. Definitely ring rust, been out of the ring, first fight in a while. I think Sandor, I don't know, I think he's a kind of a middle-of-the-road kind of guy. Like, I think he stepped into a really good position with Mikey Garcia when he
fought
him. Great,
good for him.
Because what is his next best fight?
I would have to look it up, but he has 11. He lost to Anthony Yidgit, and then he's reeled off 11 wins since then.
Yidgit got smoked by Baranchek and by Romero. Yeah. So like,
it's definitely like, I'm not saying that Teofimo's going to get upset here.
No,
I just think it's a different look than Pedraza. It's a different look for crafty southpaw. Only throws 23 punches. Threw 23 punches around versus Garcia. That's not a lot. You know,
Who throws 23 punches?
Sandor Martin threw 23 punches against Mikey Garcia.
He
slowed down the pace.
He didn't have to.
Counter punch. He landed 47% of his power.
Mikey didn't want to throw punches anyway.
That's the thing.
This is a whole different guy. I mean, Teofimo's super explosive. Very, very fast. Great counter puncher.
Not really active in terms of volume, though.
The only thing that didn't impress me about his 140-pound debut was his power. He didn't have that one punch. The shots that he hit that dude with
Pedro Campa
ice 35-pounders.
Yeah.
Did not. But his hand speed looked good. His punch combination, his punch variety, his precision, all of those things looked like they always have. His defense looked fantastic. So, I don't know. I think that he's going to go out there and he's going to put on a show. Does he stop Sandor Martin? Maybe. I think he's...
Maybe late. I could see this playing out where Martin frustrates Teofimo a little bit, boxes in and out, crafty, counterpuncher, first 5-6 rounds, a little bit of frustration on Teofimo's side.
Well, and similar to the last fight.
Right, and then Teofimo warms up like he did in the last fight, finds his rhythm, finds those crosses, and then he can maybe get him out of there in the second half of the fight. But the thing at Teofimo at 140, and we're going to keep seeing this is where he's campaigning now, is you're right. At 135, he was the guy. He had a huge advantage when it comes to power. Probably the most powerful puncher in the division because Tank wasn't at 135 yet. At 140, he has to depend a little bit on attrition, depend a little bit on accuracy, and maybe get those. But the thing with Teofimo, he's a showman. He will tell you that from the first minute you meet him.
I love watching
Teofimo. I am an
fight.
Entertainer, he says. Yep. My dad told me to be an entertainer at a young age. So when you're an entertainer, is a decision going to the cards and winning a sound decision good enough for Teofimo? I feel like he's like boom or bust. Like he wants a spectacular knockout, Heisman night. Like it might work in this fight, but when he goes up to eventually face Josh Taylor, who he says he wants to fight, or Regis Progre, does he have enough facets to his game at 140? To beat those types of guys.
As you're saying that, I'm like, yeah, you know, that's something. But then I think about the Lomachenko fight. How smart he boxed in that fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he did it. That was a true boxer-puncher performance. He threw power. He threw hard counter punches. And he controlled the majority of the fight, which is why he got the decision. I still think it was a close fight, but I had him winning, hands down. A lot of people argue that. But
no, I had him. He definitely won.
A lot of people still argue that, which I don't understand.
The last round was he put an exclamation point on it. And even though you're not supposed to judge fights like that, I get that. He put an exclamation point.
The way I looked at it, Lomachenko didn't start fighting until the seventh round, and he lost the last round.
Downloading data.
So, whatever. You don't fight for six rounds, and you lose the last round, you lost the fight.
Yeah.
Simple as that. But he fought a very, very disciplined fight. So he's got it in him. He hasn't done it in a while because he hasn't had to, because I don't think he's had the opposition in front of him. He fought very dumb against Kambosos. He fought with pride. And he needed to go out there and do what he does. He needed to be Teofimo that night, and he wasn't.
No, he had a lot going on.
Listen, they fight 100 times. I think Teofimo wins the fight 99 times.
I agree there.
Tip my hat to Kambosos. Great night for you. Awesome job. Congratulations. But I don't know. I think just Teofimo is a better fighter.
Yeah, he's going to win. He's going to beat Sandor Martin. He's going to, I think, stop him late.
Yeah, I don't think that's really the question. But what we're really talking about is his right. life at 140. Because I remember when I first came back a couple years ago, he's like, I heard you coming back. And I was coming out of a show that I was commentating. I think it was the Comey fight a couple years ago. Anyway. And he like hugged me. I'm very close with him and his father. And I grab him and he's like, I might be with the 140. And I grab him by his shoulders and I go, well, you know what I mean? You might need to grow into this a little bit, big guy. Because he's a shorter guy than me. And I grab him, whatever. But and then he asked me seriously. He's like, what do you think about me 140? I'm like, listen, you got power. So moving up is going to be in the cards. You're probably going to be fine. And now we're there, but we're seeing it. Listen, 140 is no joke. These guys are big and strong and fast.
He wants to fight Josh Taylor. He named that to me, and we did a little rapid fire questions. Regis Prograis calling his name. Listen, this will be his second fight at 140, and at this point, after now, you have to go get into those. He's highly ranked. Get into these big fights, whether it's Regis Prograis, whether it's Josh Taylor. There are 140 is loaded. It's one of the best divisions in boxing, and Teofimo now is going to, this will be his second fight. Eventually, maybe I will see what happens next if they put him in there with one of those names, or it's a gradual buildup.
I like his progression so far. He fought a very, very tough Mexican fighter who had a good record, and now he was supposed to fight Pedraza, which would have been very much a step up in class, but now he's got Sandor Martin, who's also a similar level as Pedraza in terms of, if you were just looking at in terms of where they are in the world, they're very, very similar guys.
Yeah.
Just stylistically different.
Just to go back to the WWE conversation, Gail, who I absolutely love in the boxing world, WWE is the only publicly traded media company in the U.S. that turned a profit last year, per Axios reporting this week. Not surprised to hear they're expanding into other combat sports. So that's put a button on that conversation. So, yeah, we could maybe see that. Moving forward on this card, one of the better cards of the year. I'm excited about this. Jared Anderson versus Jerry Forrest. Anderson's by far the best American heavyweight prospect in boxing, quite possibly the best heavyweight prospect in the world. I maybe have Jalilov ahead of Anderson. Take a look around the WWE. Take a look around the heavyweight division, Chris. Usyk, 36 years old. Fury, 33 years old. Wilder, 37. Joyce, 37. Joshua, 33. Ruiz, 33. Jared Anderson, 25 years old. I think he's the next face of heavyweight boxing. He's got Top Rank behind him. He's got ESPN behind him. Facing Jerry Forrest, who is going to try to play spoiler, who could possibly give Anderson rounds.
Man, I love me some Jared Anderson. I think whenever we get these heavyweight athletes coming over to boxing, Jared Anderson should be playing in the NFL, honestly. Like, he's that level of athlete. He's that big. He's that strong. He's that athletic. He should be playing NFL.
Him in boxing.
Somehow he made it to boxing. Thank God.
Make more money in boxing.
We need guys like that. Yeah. We need these guys who are willing to take that advantage, that opportunity to go out there, take that risk. It's a lot easier. Honestly, I think it's a lot easier money in NFL. You can make more money in boxing, but it's much easier if you can make it in the NFL. Boxing, I mean, it's a long, hard road with a lot of pitfalls. You got to get your ass.
Yeah, but you're a heavyweight and you're American. You have charisma like Anderson has.
Exactly. I love the fact that he's got all of those things. We need a guy like that. And he's American. We got an American heavyweight. So I love it. And this is a huge step up. Jerry Forrest is one of those guys. He's a spoiler. Like, by definition, he is a spoiler. Yeah. He is a big guy. He's an athletic guy. He's a strong guy. Hey, he's not the most talented guy in the world. We're never going to see Jerry Forrest holding a world title belt above his head. But he's going to knock off a lot of these guys who aren't ready or guys who weren't in the best shape going into this camp. I mean, Zhang. I mean, he gave Zhang hell, and they got a draw.
How about when that was talking about the award show? That was my sneaky favorite moment of 2021 was when Jerry Forrest, Zhang, He Forrest went down twice early.
Yep.
Fought back to a draw and then called out Joshua after.
Hey, dude. Listen, at this point, he might actually get the fight. He beats Jared Anderson. He might get the fight. That's
say it all the
time.
You're a heavyweight, and you're like Jermaine Franklin. You're one call away from fighting one of the top names.
This is why managers run after heavyweights all the time, because there's money there. There's always money with heavyweights. But Jerry Forrest, very, very tough guy. Huge step up for Jared Anderson, especially since he's been out of the ring because of his hand injuries over the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. But he passes this test, the Jerry Forrest test with flying colors. I mean, we have the next great American heavyweight.
Yeah, this is it's a big step up. It's a big step up for Anderson and Forrest. 0-2-2 in his last four fights, but two draws in there. So it's big butt, big ass butt. Good competition. Takam, he drew with Zhang. He drew with Michael Hunter,
yep.
Who many people think is he was the Jared Anderson before Jared Anderson, the next heavyweight American, even though he's a little undersized. Kubert Pulev went the distance with him,
mm-hmm.
Jerry Forrest. Split decision loss to Jermaine Franklin. Look what Jermaine Franklin just did with Dillian White. This is going to be a great fight. I expect Forrest to give rounds to Anderson, and I expect Anderson to ultimately maybe get a stoppage. That was like a ultimate maybe I just said.
Maybe. I didn't believe your voice when I heard it. You said it.
Because I haven't made my pick yet. I'm going to go Anderson. Knockout. How many rounds is this fight? Anderson late.
Is this a 10-rounder?
I got to look. Some in the chat maybe would know. Mike Linder, great job. Cries, great work. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
I don't know how many rounds it is, but I think it doesn't matter. I think that Anderson's going to get a stoppage, and he's going to do something to kind of steal the show on Heisman night.
If he gets the knockout and does the Heisman, I mean,
well, Teofimo, that's Teofimo's night. That's what he did that early on.
Yeah, but Teofimo's 135 pounds. This guy's a heavyweight. It's a different thing when he does that. Jared Anderson. I think
Jared Anderson and Jalilov are on a crash course. The big Uzbek and Jared Anderson are the two best prospects. Because it's like I just said, the ages, it's like a stark fall off after Ruiz is the youngest heavyweight contender and he's 33. Right?
I think Jared definitely needs more development. Heavyweights always need a long time to develop because they fight so many cans.
Yeah.
This is not a can fight. With a win here, especially what you're predicting, if he stops him, I mean, shoot him up to the top of the prospects for the heavyweight.
Well, he's
division.
Already ranked by WBC. 15th. So
yeah,
he's
but,
cracked
but,
that.
But Dan, ranking
20th.
Ranking doesn't mean shit.
It means something for if you play
for
that
getting
game.
Getting the fight, but sure. But in terms of winning,
yeah, it just goes in line with he's on the scene.
Yeah, I mean, part of that has to do with the train the of top rank in ESPN. He's got a lot behind him. He's got the great TV knockouts.
Do you remember his ring walk where he was a pimp?
Yeah, Ryan, I called those
Jared
fights.
Anderson. He came in, pimp walk, hat, cane.
Yep. It was purple, right? Was it a purple and shiny?
And then knocked the guy out cold.
Yo,
he's got charisma, this guy.
Yes, he does. And he can really fight. He fights. He does not fight like a heavyweight. He's super athletic.
Mm. Should be playing DN for the Giants.
Yes, exactly. That's why my point exactly. He looks like he should be playing NFL.
If he was playing DN for the Giants don't tie last week with the Commanders.
How tall and how?
6'5", 250.
Yeah.
But he can move. Yeah.
And from what I've heard from his sparring, I got some inside track on his sparring. His defense, his athleticism, his speed is next level. He just hasn't shown it in fights because these guys can't hurt him. Yeah. He gets hit a lot. He walks through shots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that about his style right now. I think he's going to have to develop a little bit more. But the guys can't hurt him. He just goes through it, and he wants the knockout, which I do respect.
All right, let's go through the end of the card. Xander Zayas, is stud. He's on this card. 15th pro fight.
My
Zayas.
Favorite prospect. Him and Pacheco are my two favorite prospects.
Yes, I agree with that. 20 years old. Zayas already 15 pro fights. Keyshawn Davis, another guy on a rocket ship. Expect him to get the same
Love
type of push
that
Teofimo got. That's the full card. This is an awesome card. ESPN, Heisman night. This is going to do big ratings. Teofimo, Anderson, Zayas, Keyshawn Davis, Bruce Carrington on the card.
Brucey,
download. This card's all. Top Rank has the best young talent in the game. So that's over on ESPN. And over on pay-per-view, it's finally here. BLK Prime is making their debut. Terrence Bud Crawford, the consensus number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world, taking on David Avanesyan. Fans are boycotting this. Fans don't want to watch it. because they say that Terrence Crawford is the reason why we're not getting Spence Crawford. I ain't parking down $50 to watch Crawford versus Avanesian or Avanesian. I finally got it right.
It's Avanesian.
Yes.
I don't want to, again.
Avanesian. David Avanesian.
Avanesian.
Respect him.
We, no, I 100% respect him. That's why I want to make sure that I say his name correctly, because I do put respect in that name. I think that he's a very good fighter, very talented guy, has upset a few guys in the past, Josh Kelly being one of them, who just won a big fight last weekend. So, you know, the guy can fight. It's a real fight. It's not, just because you haven't heard of him doesn't mean he can't fight. But, wait, it's only $50?
I could be wrong. I mean,
that's not bad for
me. I never heard a pay per view being $50.
Come on,
be
people.
Okay. I just watched the Marv Nation Regis Progre show as another independent pay per view.
That was
it. Was I thought it looked good. Like the
really?
Shots were good. I do.
Okay.
I thought it looked good.
I heard very different things from people who are inside that arena.
Like in terms of like the logistics, I heard that was a mess. Like a fighter, like a walkout fighter, got screwed. That's not
yeah.
Like the presentation.
I had people who were in corners and they were like, "This it looked like a Tijuana show."
I thought it looked decent.
You probably saw a different stream than I did.
Okay. But we'll see what this looks like. The broadcast team is Todd Grisham, Paulie Malignaggi,
mm-hmm.
Zab Judah, Antonio Tarver.
That's a very interesting group of personalities. I mean, it's a matter of time.
I like Todd. Obviously, he's our
Todd's
boy.
Great. Todd's great. I love
but
working with
like
Todd, too.
They keep trotting out the same.
Paulie's my boy.
The same broadcast teams.
Zab's great, obviously.
Zab is doing sideline reporting.
Well,
that could go
interesting.
That could be.
Listen, he's Zab Judah. He's one of the best Brooklyn fighters who's ever lived. I'm a huge fan of my favorite fighters growing up.
Yeah.
But I mean, he doesn't have a lot of reps in this.
Dude, sideline reporting is that's
really
what I
hard.
Do. It's so hard.
Really
it's
hard.
Live, you're on the spot. You got to come up with questions on the spot. So if something happens, like in between corners, you
head
on
a swivel.
Around. Like,
head on a swivel.
It is some of the hardest work broadcast wise that I've done in my career.
And you got to be mobile. Being mobile on fight night is really hard. You have to, like, you're not in a seat. You're not sitting. You're not doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get up and you have to find someone. You have literally a headset or a microphone. You have to like grab people in corners. There's sweat and blood flying. Yeah, that's a tough job.
BLK Prime Media Production looked like a mom and pop flea market gig. Says
okay.
HLD. $40 says our boy Drew.
Oh, hey,
look, I'm gonna be at this top rank fight, so
guys,
I'm gonna be. I'm going to be asking everyone who does order it what it looks like.
$40 is what most of you guys spend at the bar on a Tuesday night. Go buy it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. My question for you, Chris, I think I know the answer here. Terrence Crawford was offered $10 million from BLK Prime to fight David Avanesian, who is a B-level type of fighter. And I say that, and that's a compliment.
Yeah.
Maybe C-level, maybe BC-level. $10 million. Five of it up front. Next five is coming. That's another thing with Marv Nation. A little Regis Progre. It was a little snafu with the payment. But he got paid.
Yep.
But the question for you is, how many fighters in boxing today would take this deal if offered to them? $10 million to fight someone that you are very much better than.
Everyone? 100%? Why would you not?
Right.
But are you going to get that check?
That wasn't my butt.
That's my butt. I'm a fighter. I'm thinking about,
am I
going to get that second
half? That's not my first butt.
Listen, I've done commentating gigs where I'm like, hey, I need to get just up front. I'm not sure I'm getting the second half.
Get half up front.
Yeah, I've been in fights where the paycheck, the check, similar to the Progre situation, didn't clear.
Cash, so, baby.
Oh, yeah.
My butt was, a lot of fighters would take this. 10 out of 10 fighters would take it. But the fact that we're getting this fight instead of the Spence fight is what a lot of fans can't stomach. And I understand it. The more and more I hear about the details, the more and more I hear about things that Terrence Crawford has said. Even today I saw a headline saying Terrence Crawford said, we should put me and Spence should fight in the UK. Like, dude, you're not a UK fighter.
Weird statement.
He said, look at Joshua and Fury. Like, that's Joshua and Fury. They're from there. They're heavyweights. Like, they are the best fans in the world, UK fans, them and Mexican fans. But do they really care as much as American fans were? Like, why would they put that fight over there? It's just in line with some of Crawford's business decisions are strange.
I do not know enough about the inner workings of that particular deal to speak on that. I can't.
Was a very lawyer. You gave me like a under oath.
So people don't know I've been going to night school, and I'm gonna come back as a boxing lawyer. I can't speak on it. I don't know enough about what's been going on behind the scenes, why this fight's not happening. I can't put blame on either one. Listen, we're dealing with Al Haymon because we're not dealing with Errol Spence. I'm telling you right.
That's what Crawford said. You're not your own boss.
I think Errol wants to fight. I think Terrence wants to fight.
Yeah, I do too.
I think the fighters want the fights. I think that it's the everything around it. Listen, guys, I'm telling you this from the inside. I've been in big fights for big money. The amount of inner workings that go on that you never hear about are out of your mind.
Right.
They're so.
How much does it get? How much of those does that get back to you?
To me?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. Well, I managed myself for my Pacquiao fight. Like, I did that all myself. That's it was crazy. Me and my attorney. We were literally on the phone all day, every day. And I was in a two-hour negotiation myself and two promoters, the guys who were co-promoting me. And
who,
it was...
Who was it? You on... Who was on the other side
of
the...
It was Joe DiGuardia. And
who was
it
on
was,
the other side?
And it was Pulelo.
Artie.
Artie.
Yeah, he's a
And then we were also dealing with Top Rank. So, like, it was like... You know, it was... Man, that was literally...
Was that guy Khan's involved? Michael Khan's, remember him? He was Pacquiao's like manager for a while.
Not with that. No, not okay. with that. No, I did deal with him during like the press tour and whatever. But like, that was harder than the fight. Honestly, mm-hmm. that was harder than the training camp. That was the most stressed I've ever been in my entire life. I really wish I had a manager at that point because I had to do it all myself.
Well, that's like in baseball. A lot of guys in sports, they negotiate themselves.
Yeah, I aged 10 years during that. You know, it was brutal. It was absolutely horrible. But, you know, those are things you never hear about, and I think a lot of fighters don't even hear about it because their manager's doing it behind closed doors, and they don't want to hear about it, which I get. I don't want to hear about that stuff now. But, you know, at the time, I learned a lot. Like I said, I aged 10 years and not necessarily in a good way. But, you know, that's just part of what's going on. So I can't speak enough about what happened on Terrence Crawford's side in terms of the
like,
situation.
The headline,
but
I'll say it.
It's a $10 million fight.
$10 million fight. Listen, get your money. Fight Evan Nissian. But... I don't think Crawford really cares what people think, number one.
Good.
I don't think he cares what his legacy is. I think he's well past that.
I think he does. I think he does.
Who he says, I
think
don't
he
care.
Needs to. I think he needs
well,
to.
No. I worded that wrong. He is content with his legacy. He says, I retire right now. I'm in the Hall of Fame. Probably, because the Hall of Fame is lowering their bar every single year.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with what I've done. 3-division world champion. But I'll say it as a, you know, member of the media, whatever, he has not really been in the big fight. Like, he fights Spence and he beats him, which many people think he can. Okay, then you're looking at, like, one of the best welterweights ever.
Mm-hmm.
Cement it.
Yep.
He still can next year. Like, but this whole saga has left a bad taste in a lot of fight fans' mouths, and it's made Terrence Crawford kind of look a little bit like a clown.
I wouldn't say clown, but honestly, he's never, I don't think he's ever really been a fan favorite. He's never been that guy.
He never did interviews with Top Rank. It was hard. I know for a fact that they struggled to get him in front of cameras.
He's not a marketable guy. He never was. But you know, he's at the opportunity to make some real money. He sees his $10 million dangle in front of him. I don't blame him at all for taking that, because he can take that. And then, hey, the Spence fight happens in 6 months. Okay. Boom. He made.
I do think it's going to happen next year.
I do too. I think he needs it. I really think he needs it for his career. And I think Spence needs it too. But if it doesn't happen for Spence, Spence goes on. Spence goes up to 54. He becomes a 2-division world champion. He starts busting up those 54-pounders, because he will. I don't think it matters as much. It'll be in Spence's rear view very soon. Crawford, it's going to be a skid mark on his career.
I agree.
Very different. Very, very different situations those two guys are in.
It just sucks that this is what we're talking about. We're talking about Crawford and Spence.
When not fighting.
David. Yeah, not fighting. And not, you know, he's fighting David Avanesian. And, yeah, so that's the other fight, BLK Prime. Chris Cyborg is the co-main event, boxing.
I don't know if you've ever seen her spar. I've never seen her fight boxing. She can box.
Yeah.
I've seen her spar. Haven't seen her fight. It's a whole different thing, so we'll see.
I'm interested to see what it looks like, the BLK production. I think that the Marv Nation one looked good. They had Dave Harmon, who was at HBO for like 30 years. He was the director. I thought it looked fine. Some of the broadcast team was a little janky. We talked about that already. But that's the fights this weekend. Oh, no,
guys, if you need me and Dan to come and commentate, we're available.
I do Broadway boxing with Justin Shackle, who works here at John Boy.
Justin's great.
Who does a pitching podcast, Towing the Slab, with David Cohn. And Corey Erdman.
Oh, Corey's fantastic.
Celebrity chef Chris Santos. I think we have the best broadcast team.
Come on, dude.
Well, you're a little out of our range. Like,
but still, I mean, you're saying you're the best. I mean, you're missing.
Obviously, we want you a part of it, but you're Chris Algier. You're in Florida. You're too big for us.
What
you're
is
doing,
that? What
you're
is
doing
that
the zone cards.
I
mean, you're doing
I go all over the world. I've been to Malaysia.
I feel like you're above probably boxing.
I am not above reps, and I've always been a hardworking guy in the gym. Reps matter. So,
but I do agree that they need to start, you know, thinking broader with these broadcast
outside
teams.
Outside the box.
Yeah,
outside the box.
Most notably, hiring me and Chris.
Yeah,
and Ronnie.
Exactly.
It's a package deal.
We need
three
super,
of us.
We need a super producer.
Last fight is over on DAZN. Josh Warrington, Luis Lopez. Warrington, up and down type of guy, featherweight. Luis Lopez, I think, could pull off the upset.
El Venimo.
So I'll ask you last question. I will ask you, Chris, is who is most likely to pull off the upset this weekend? Avanesian? Martin, Sandor Martin, Jerry Forrest, Luis Lopez.
Luis Lopez. He is a very, very dangerous guy. I've called three of his last four fights. Guy came out of nowhere. The Andy Vences fight, which was in the bubble for Top Rank.
Yep.
Andy was supposed to win that fight, and he got hurt very, very badly. Lopez, I think it was a draw. Might have been a draw. Either way. The fight was awesome. I mean, Lopez looked, dangerous. Very, very dangerous guy. Comes back, he beats, who's the...
We're talking about who right now?
Young guy.
We're talking about Warrington?
No, we're talking about Lopez.
Lopez.
His last couple fights.
I'll pull up his box record right here.
Yeah, pull that up. So Andy Vence's fight was when I first recognized him.
He's got a good resume.
Yeah, he's got an awesome resume. And he has a couple losses early on, and then it's been on a tear ever since. He's been stopping everybody too. Andy Vence
beat Gabe Flores.
Gabe Flores is who I was thinking.
I mean, Gabe Flores
beat the hell out of Gabe Flores. But yeah. He didn't just beat
Vence's. Isaac Lowe, I think.
Isaac Lowe we destroyed.
I think Warrington is prime for. I think Warrington will win, but he's if there is one guy that's going to get upset, I think it's him, and I think he's prime for. A defeat.
I'm a big fan of Warrington. I like the way he fights. He's not a big puncher, although he's gotten some stoppages in some big fights. It's not really his style. He throws a lot of punches. That style doesn't age well. And I think that Lopez is on a hot streak, and he's got a very, very tough style to deal with. He's energetic as hell. Like, he is just bouncing around. He's just a jumping beam. Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
He's got good defense. He's got good offense. He doesn't mind when he gets hit. And he's got a soccer background, which you can tell by looking at him. His footwork is phenomenal. Not so much phenomenal in terms of boxing, but he never gets tired. The guy doesn't stop.
The odds, Gail asked, according to DraftKings, Luis Lopez is a +110 underdog. So good value there.
Yeah.
Get some plus money
on that.
Lopez. Warrington's only a -140. That says it right there. Jared Anderson, -2,500 this weekend. It's Keyshawn Davis, -2,000. Xander Zayas, -5,000. Terrence Crawford is -1,400 and
some
growing.
Good value.
Thanks.
-1,400 and growing. You want to launder some money? This is your weekend. Nioa Inoue. That's on Wednesday. -8,000 against
Wednesday at what? 2 a.m., 4 a.m.?
Yeah, I love the 6 a.m.
Oh, nice.
I just tweeted this out. I love the ritual now of waking up at 6 a.m. watching Nioa Inoue.
Well, I've called a few.
Obliterate someone and then like drinking a coffee and then going to work.
I've called a few of those, and they're rough. They're rough for me.
Dude, the over-under's 2.5 rounds. Inoue Butler.
I mean, he's going to destroy that.
I've never seen an over-under that low.
Yeah.
I might take the under.
Yeah. When I work those shows, your call time's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, do you even sleep at that point? Like, what do you do?
Might as well not.
You might as well just go through.
Yeah. I usually take a 3-hour nap and then get up and go.
And you do it from a studio, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Ronnie, anything?
Great stuff, guys.
Love it. We are ready to head out. We have something very fun planned. We can say what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
Did you guys talk Pepsi at all?
We can tease it.
Pepsi, Where's My Jet?
Did you talk Pepsi with Chris?
No, Chris.
Oh, yeah. So I got called up by a few people who were like, oh, you're in that. You should sue them. Like,
Chris,
I was like, I don't own the rights to that. I cannot sue anybody for that.
Chris, I'm watching Pepsi, Where's My Jet on Netflix. Great documentary if everyone out there hasn't seen it yet. It's 4-part series. I'm 3 hours in. I only wanted to watch one episode. I started at like 10. I wanted to go to sleep. It's now close to 1 a.m. and I'm watching the third ep, and I'm like halfway through. And somehow this story has woven its way into Manny Pacquiao and the Philippines.
So that, they clip was so odd.
They show Pacquiao, and then the second after that, the 3-second shot of him nailing you with like a left hand.
Yeah.
And I literally gasped, and I just burst out. I was like, what?
Which
was
for
that?
The record, was 20 years after that that show was what the years they were going on. 20 years later was when me and Pacquiao fought.
They must, obviously, the producers of Pepsi Where's My Jet hit up HBO and like, we
what
need
do you got?
Rights. Like, give us something in your library.
What's the cheapest shit you got?
They got Algeria going down against Pacquiao. That, honestly, I wanted to wait until this moment to say that I saw that, but someone obviously hit you up.
I got
it.
Hit by like 100. Yeah, like a lot of people.
Did you see that doc?
I it's way too long, so I watched
four episodes.
Yeah, the 4 1-hour episodes that could have been one-hour
episode.
Good
story though.
It is cool. It's great. I like, but they stretched out way too much, which is what TV does with everything now. So I got halfway through the second episode, and it's still in my queue.
Awesome. All right, everyone, that is our show this week.
Do a little preview for tomorrow.
Oh yes, right. Yeah, finally, last. Tomorrow we are doing the first ever John Boy Boxing Combine. We're gonna go to Church Street Gym. We're going to have Justin
Street
Pennick,
Boxing, New York City.
Justin Pennick, Jake Storielli, Paxton Elrod, Joe's McFly, some other JM personalities. Chris will be teaching us how to throw combinations. We'll be doing all sorts of activities. It's going to look awesome. So be on the lookout on the John Boy or the Inside Boxing Live YouTube page for our John Boy Boxing Combine. It's going to be unbelievable.
All to fight Chris.
Hopefully it becomes a yearly thing.
Yeah.
We'll get some gear.
This is the first one. We'll see how it goes if any of us get hurt.
Hopefully nobody gets no,
nobody
severely
gets knocked
injured.
Out.
Yeah.
Nobody gets everyone comes out. No, we're going to be fine.
Yeah, but
that is it. I'm headed to the fights on Saturday. Appreciate everyone joining as always. Great job, Ronnie. Super producing, juggling a lot of stuff here. As always, keep your hands up, protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We out.